Good morning. Turn in your Bibles for an introduction to Numbers chapter 11. What a joy to be singing together and anticipating convention. Pastor Dave Stombowski is with us here this morning. And Pastor Shabelli is here with us this morning. He came back from Africa. And that's a joy. And Pastor Dave is going to share with us at the in the message this morning. And I'd like you to think about the cross and how the cross has drawn you to God and given you something you never had before. I heard about, Pastor Ben told us in Israel, about a cowboy that he met in Israel from here, America, as most cowboys are from here. And he talked about breaking horses and how you can do it different ways. One with violence, and the other one is By going to a horse with food and not having eye contact and getting really low and giving the food like this and training the horse to eat from your hand as you take a low position. And that actually the horse starts to relate to you that way. And I like the illustration of how God came to us at the cross, and he takes this low position of serving us and loving us. And it touched our hearts. And we said in principle, nobody has loved me like God has loved me. And nobody cares about me like God does. It's almost like God isn't center, just like that cowboy isn't center, but he has to get to the heart of the horse. And God says to Israel, I've stretched out my hands to you all day long. And you can't help but think he said that in the Old Testament, but it also has like a double meaning in the sense that Jesus on the cross has his arms stretched out toward all of us all day long. This Holy Spirit is the same. The Holy Spirit is the same as Christ, and he has the same approach to us, which is that he wants to reach our hearts. But our hearts get pretty cranky and pretty miserable, and pretty angry, and pretty rebellious, and pretty blind. And a good example is here in Numbers 11, verse 4. You need a historical context. I want to keep this real brief, but they came out of Egypt through the Red Sea. They saw the hand of Almighty God, the power of God. And now they are in the wilderness, and they are really wanting some meat, some flesh to eat. They've been eating manna. Verse 4, the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Who will give us, like regular food? Because we remember, verse 5, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. We remember the cucumbers. It gets better. And like in the grocery store. Oh, the melons. Look at the melons. The leeks and the onions and the garlic. Do you remember that food? Now, I wonder if they really ate all that. Maybe they did. They were slaves, so I don't know that what their menu was like as slaves. But in any case, we also can remember, and our memory can play tricks on us, that my life was better before I was a Christian. I had what I wanted, or I was living a normal life before I was a Christian. I remember the good times. I remember that can happen to us. So this is a, you know, we have to think about it. Like, really? Is my flesh, I have lived in my flesh in the past, and what did I get? I have lived in my flesh in the past, and what kind of life did I have? And you have to figure this out. You have to understand this through the Holy Spirit teaching you and through the Word and what it means to live by faith and be filled with the Spirit. Because God really knows He's dealing with a wild horse and how we can kick and buck and run wild and be like an animal. And yet His approach to us is one of trying to reach our heart and say, what you really need is to be submitted to Me. And even if you remember that you remember the fish and the onions and the leeks and the melons, do you know that I have something better for you? Do you know that I have better words? I have better promises, that I have the Holy Spirit sent into your heart, that you have a clean heart and renewed mind? Do you know that your thoughts are better now? Do you know that your purpose in life is better? Yes, as a Christian, I can run wild, but actually, I would like God to draw me to His heart and to fill me with the Spirit, and that I would be Spirit-filled. This is it. Spirit-filled. So, let's go to that portion, and we'll just make the point. Maybe, yeah, Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You see, when you're a Christian, you have the Spirit, but you may not walk in the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, but you might kick and buck and run and just do as you please and remember Egypt, or you can walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, it's a lot better. There's love, there's peace, there's God's mind, heart, there's faith, and there's the greatest thing is being submitted to that humble cowboy who's trying to reach you. You are submitted to God Almighty, who knows what is better for you, who knows how, where He wants to bring you, what He wants to do for you. It's much better to be filled with the Spirit than to walk in my flesh. My flesh will play games on me. Do you remember back in Egypt? Yeah, but don't you remember? You were slaves. Your life was miserable. You were crying out for deliverance. You wanted to get out of it. Remember when you were in the bar room and there wasn't anything there but a bunch of foolishness and flesh and trouble and a coming train wreck? Coming, I had this idea of a ship wrecked on the beach and the cargo strewn all over the beach and boxes floating in the water and people either dead or alive in the sea, and the whole thing, just the ship is just wrecked. And I was thinking, that's like people. People are like a shipwreck. People are destroyed every day. People are like all their stuff is strewn all over the beach, and their ship is destroyed, and people are dead and alive, but it's totally devastating. That's the way of man. But this is God saying to a rebellious horse, you know, it's like, I have a plan for you. I got to reach you, and I will reach you with my love. And once we are reached, let us walk in him and walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We all know we can speak in the flesh. We can get angry in our house. Sheetrock, punched hole right in the sheetrock. Door ripped off the hinges, a pot or pan flying across the kitchen. Pastor Love tells a story about potatoes, that potatoes flying across the table from his, I don't know, not his immediate family, but extended family. He has to tell the story. Right? Potatoes in the air. I mean, words in the air, attitudes in the air, anger in the air, flesh in the air, selfishness in the air. All of that is like, it's not the way to live. But to be Spirit-filled is. So let's ask Pastor Dave, come on up. We want to pray for him. He's going to preach the message today. And I just want to pray a blessing on him. This guy is amazing. You're not going to preach just now, but I want to pray for you. Okay. All right. So
I'm looking for a Jewish cowboy in Israel.
Okay. Father, thank you for this brother and his family and bringing him here this morning, and bless him to give the message to our hearts. And thank you for this congregation and his work in Massachusetts and in Florida, Connecticut. And thank you for our body life together as we walk in the Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.
So good to be here. And this is this the senior service? Because I see a lot of, I like it. Yesterday at the wedding, I feel like I haven't been here in a while, and it's not because of the pandemic. It's because of the melons and the garlic up in the Berkshires. I'm sorry. But yesterday I was reminded of the beauty of this place and the joy of it and the privilege of being connected to this ministry. I wondered who Pastor Glenn Cannon's plastic surgeon was, because his smile is infectious. And the Holy Spirit said, I had the same plastic surgeon. So, Pastor Cannon, thank you for that face that shines, and Mary Jo, obviously. But we had a few moments with them, Karen and I, and just reminded of what a precious place this is, and you guys all of you, and you're always in our hearts. We've been driving a lot back and forth from Florida. Unfortunately, I get through Baltimore at 2 in the morning. I try not to go through rush hour, so I'm here 2 or 3 in the morning on my way north or south. So, but we're praying as we drive by. And thank God for this place, Pastor Schaller, Pastor Steve. This is home, and it always will be. And Father, we just ask that you would bless this time together, this message that you've given us for this morning and this moment. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Like some people, I have had a problem with my promises, keeping them. At 70 years young, I'm looking back and reflecting on so many things that perhaps I've promised or I said I would do and I didn't do. I tried to explain it all or blame it all on my Jewish heritage, but I can't do that much longer. And then I try to look for verses in the Bible that tells me there's no condemnation, and there isn't. And I feel so privileged that all the promises in him are yea and amen to the glory of God. So I'm not the promise keeper, but my Savior is Jesus, and he's very faithful. But I was looking back to think about men and women in the scriptures who have had issues with promises and issues with wondering what life was about. And if you go to Genesis chapter 49 with me, I think this will make some sense to you. And I want to just explain one thing, that we are living in an age of cognitive dissonance. You remember those words from Bible college? Cognitive dissonance. So it's this conflict between what we think reality is and what it really is. So, I mean, I woke up in the middle of the night last night. I told Karen, I woke up, I had a dream that I didn't have any legs, and I did a telemedical thing with my doctor, and he said, I can't see, you don't have any legs, but the vaccine helped you from getting COVID, so you're okay. And, I mean, those are my dreams. I don't know if any of you are strange like me, but I woke up and said, it was just something strange, that things that we think about. But think about that again, the conflict between what we think reality is and what it actually is. The world is cognitively dissonant all the time in our world, but we have the mind of Christ, don't we, in 1 Corinthians 2:16. So in Genesis 49, I thought about this guy who's one of my favorite sons of Jacob. And his name is Asher. Say that word with me, Asher. Asher means a fortunate one, a blessed one. Actually, there's a analogy to the word flourish in Psalm 92, that he flourishes like a palm tree, and that you can study that in Psalm 92 if you're looking for that. But listen to what his father Jacob was blessing him with in this chapter of Genesis 49. I think it's in, let's see, it's in verse what? 20. Bread from Asher shall be rich, and he shall yield royal dainties. That's the New King James Version. Bread from Asher will be fat, filled with, it is certainly not a vegan recipe for bread. But bread from Asher shall be rich, and he shall yield royal dainties. How important the blessing that's handed down to us is. What does this mean? Here's a guy who was part of the mob to sell his brother off to slavery. Lied to his father, told him, you know, brought a bloodstained coat of many color into his father's room. He was there with him. This was real. This is a fortunate kid. He couldn't see. I mean, what was he like, Asher? Look at, I mean, this is amazing. And here he is in his father's bedroom, and his father's mourning the alleged death of his son, Joseph. We know the rest of the story, so it's easy to say, aha, have one of those aha moments, say, this kid. But he was one of those, maybe seventh, eighth son. And yet, in the blessing that Jacob pronounced on this man and his family, he would be able to provide bread that was cast on the water and returned back to him. He would be able to provide royal dainties. He would go out and get some cannolis and sfogliatella and bring them back to his family for the rest of his life. I can identify with that, and so can my Springfield brother over there, Pastor Shavilla, that we could go and we can bring royal dainties, and this is what we need. You know, we feed those moments in our children and our heritage, and we feed each other with these royal dainties, and Asher got that. Now, none of us have done what he did, the dastardly deeds that he did with his brothers. He connived up. It was a true conspiracy. But look, if you will, and go to Deuteronomy. And as the tribe grew in Deuteronomy chapter 33, Moses then pronounced a blessing on the tribe of Asher. And this was an interesting one, too, because these are life verses for us. And so here's this flourishing young man who, and his family's going on. Boy, did he need a promise from God. Did he want, you know, I mean, can you imagine the guilt and the shame? And yet the family continued, because God was in the business of continuing that blessed nation through Jacob's patriarchal lineage and also through his perfect plan. And so he is with us. The resiliency and the beauty and the stamina of a believer who's walking in the Spirit, there's nothing like it, is there? There's nothing like it. We can tell stories all day and all night long, but this is the story that we want to always be focused on, because I sell my brother out in a moment, talk behind his back in a moment, try to get the money he owes me in a moment. And look at what Moses said in Deuteronomy 33, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, verse 24. And of Asher he said, Asher is most blessed of sons. Let him be accepted and favored by his brother. Isn't it nice to be accepted in the beloved? That's our promise that we live in. We are accepted in the beloved. And yet Asher, the family must have inherited. I know it only it stopped at four generations or three generations, whatever. It was there in their genes, and they kind of had thinking that everyone was guilty, or everyone in their family, there was a curse that they couldn't understand that they were living in. Did you ever look back to your family roots and discover some of the hidden things? And I never knew, in my family, I never knew a lot about my mother's history. She was a nurse in World War II, and she was over there in Germany. She was a captain in the Air Force, and she had seen things that were beyond description, kept them hidden in her. And all along, we never, until after she died, one of my aunts told me about her story as a hero and helping Holocaust victims and et cetera, et cetera. So here's Asher, most blessed of sons. Let him be favored, accepted by his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. His sandals will be iron and bronze. Those are, anybody got sandals? These sandals in the front row, they are not, yeah, they're iron and bronze. They're kind of heavy. They're beautiful. As your days, so shall your strength be. As your days, so shall your strength be. What a promise. As your days, so shall your strength be. What does that mean to you and I today? Asher, fortunate. You've been born again into the family of God. As your days, so your strength is. You have been blessed by God. You're accepted in the beloved, David Stambovsky. What did you do to deserve it? Nothing. What can you do to earn it? Nothing. I'm just trying to figure out why I have crazy dreams and why I'm living in a cognitive dissonant world where good is evil and evil is good. In the prison I still work in Connecticut, when COVID struck, we had in a prison of 1,100 men, 895 men with COVID all at the same time. It was a interesting time. They did not want the staff to go near them because the staff brought the infection into the prison. The inmates didn't have the infection until staff members came in with the disease, and it's interesting. No, we don't want you guys around. And so we were masked up and we would go and make quick tours and do our thing, and never caught it. Thank God. But it's interesting how infection spreads so quickly. And the same holds true how that infectious smile of a Glenn Cannon spreads. I couldn't stop thinking about that man of God. And then my daughter said, I didn't see Pastor Cannon at the wedding. I said, he was there. Would you tell him he was my favorite teacher in Bible college? And Ava said that. And I said, yeah, I remember you used to say that. She, yeah, all the time. And so this Asher, he had stamina, continuance. This genetic line was remarkable. Look at one more portion in 1 Chronicles chapter 7. By the way, I love the Bible, the old and the newer. The old contains and the new explains. I think it's the other way as well. The old explains what the new contains. You don't have to live in a certain slogan, but if it works for you for that moment, fine. 1 Chronicles chapter 7. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm looking at verse 40. And all these, now this is hundreds of years later, all these were the children of Asher, heads of their father's houses, choice men, mighty men of valor, chief leaders. And they were recorded by genealogies among the army fit for battle. Their number was 26,000. Bravo to Father Asher, and had many sons. And look at this testimony. This is what, as I get older and wait to go home, this is what I want my children and my grandchildren. And my wife's family is Mennonite, and they have huge families up in Lancaster County. And they have, you know, I think her grandmother on her dad's side or her mom's side had 116 great-grandchildren, and then 48 great-great-grandchildren. I mean, that happens in our life. And I know we think of spiritually birthing children as well. Whoever put the sign up for Arkansas, is there an Arkansas sign up there? Thank you for that, because I have a dear family in Connecticut. I did their wedding, led them to the Lord, and they just moved to Arkansas this week and looking for a place. I'm not sure if you can connect with them, but he's a cowboy, so it would be fun for some of you guys, whoever goes, may God be with you. But listen to Asher. Asher is this family that perhaps the promises of God when he was being blessed by his dad Jacob weren't realized at that moment. But on it, I mean, years and years, there's staying power in the kingdom of God. The blessings of God make rich. He adds no sorrow to them. This is our heritage. This is our lineage. This is who we are. I can build myself up in this most holy faith because I'm an Asher. You know, my mother really inflicted that upon us. She said I was God's gift to the world, and it really has messed up a lot of my identity problems that I've had over the years. And you can pray for Karen. We're going on 40 years, May 15th, together. She's put up with me. So thank God for that. But I think it's important that as our days are, so is our strength. I can reverse that because I'm a little dyslexic. And as my strength is, so are my days. Because I realize my strength is made perfect. It's God's strength made perfect in my weakness. And my weakness is my advantage as a believer. And as we think about that today, I thought about this guy, Shamgar. You remember him, Shamgar? And here's a guy who was in the field, and he was doing his thing, and one of the guys came over to him in Judges 3 and said, "Hey, Shamgar, there's 600 Philistines coming after you." 600 to 1, that's some odds. And Shamgar said, "That's it? 600? He must have reflected back in the book of Joshua 23, I think it was, where Joshua said, "And one of you will chase 1,000. You remember that verse? You know, one can chase 1,000. He said, "I wonder why." Shamgar must have thought, "I wonder why there's only 600. They're 400 short." And he got his ox goat, and he took care of business, and he killed 600 or whatever he did. He just banged them up pretty bad, enough so that 600 to 1, those are some odds. And those are the odds stacked against you and I in this cognitive dissonant world, where you may think that it's not happening for you, and that promise that you are dying to keep and trying to do your best to live by is fading away in light of even memories and fragrance of memories, that you're grasping a hold of things, and I am. But just remember how fortunate we are. How fortunate. You will flourish like a palm tree. You'll be fat and flourishing. We will flourish in our old age. The word in the Hebrew is an interesting word. Flourish, it means to, it's not a prosperity message that we preach. It's the message that God is faithful in your life. And as the New Testament equivalent to this verse in Deuteronomy about your days and strength would be, I want you to prosper and be in good health today as your soul prospers. This is the soul prospering blessing that God has passed on to us through the Word of God, through the plan of God, through the purpose of God for your life and my life. We'll take with us as many as we can. 1,000 accusations against us can't stand when we're standing in the grace of God. Nothing that we do can ever be used against us, because all things do work together. I don't use that as a license to sin. Even Albert Camus, one of my atheist college books that I would read, he was a great author in Age of Enlightenment. He said, sin without God is absurd. I mean, what are we pursuing here? That's an interesting thought from the mouth of an atheist writer. But what are we looking at? What are we looking for in our lives? We are living in a real world, and we really care about people. We really care about people's thoughts and their ideas and the way they, I mean, the wedding yesterday, I saw two families come together through that marriage, and it's interesting to see how what God has joined together. Let no man put asunder. Every day of your life, you're a Shamgar and you're an Asher, and you're a Deborah who loves to sit under a palm tree. I wonder why. And when we're in Florida, my wife loves palm trees, and there's all kinds. There's Dakota palms, queen palms, royal palms. I'm learning all about them. They're the most beautiful things. They're incredible. And when we go to Israel, I'm looking forward to go again, and that climate, the palm trees are amazing, and they're reminders of the faithfulness of God in His promise. That's all. We could see how beautiful they are. But so aren't your fingers when you look at them. God made me, and these are unique, and these belong to me and to God. I am His servant. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am just a man, but I am thankful that somehow we've been fortunate enough to hear this message, and somehow it connected deep enough and wide enough. And I have this little poem on my refrigerator. I love it. It said, "Old men ought to be explorers. Here and there does not matter. We must be still and still be moving into another intensity for a further union and a deeper communion with Him. We must be still and still moving for a further union and deeper communion with Him." And that song was beautiful that you sang about the marriage supper, and the pastor yesterday alluded to it as God's really, His purpose was to bless us with marriage, because that's what He's got in store for all of us. On our best day and our worst day, it's good to build yourself up and remind yourself that you got royal dainties, and you can serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. That's a good word, because that really improves my forecast for the day, and I don't have to be saturated with everything that I'm reading and frustrated with and looking to. How do I curb my desire for melon and garlic and leeks? That's actually, those are the things that you want to eat when you're older to make you healthier, to live longer. My heart doctor told me that you have three friends when you get older and in your retirement ages. And number one is exercise, which I like. Number two is good family relationships. She didn't put God in there, but obviously. And number three is make sure you don't over-medicate yourself, but make sure you don't under-medicate yourself. And those are my three friends that I'm taking with me in 70 and older. But it's fun to be a Christian. It's so great to be alive, to have the energy of God, the spirit of Shamgar, the spirit of Asher, that the blessing of God has made me prosperous, because when I'm reminded of it, it's like I never left. It's like I'm home again. Like, I haven't been here in a year and a half, and I'm saying, oh my God, did I use COVID as an excuse not to come? And I was wondering if Pastor Schauer and Pastor Steve were going to go to jail for 10 years. I have a good prison ministry, and I could get in to visit them all the time. Anytime I could. And Pastor Schauer and I had been planning to go visit Bernie Madoff, and I finally made the right connection, but he died a couple week ago. We were going to go see him in a federal penitentiary. He was moved from Michigan to North Carolina, and I didn't get it in time. But There'll be other visits we can make with. We don't want to go just to put notches on our belts. We don't do that. But just to, when you see a man who's destitute, he needs to be reminded of his possibilities and potentials in God, in Christ, that he could be an Asher. He can be a Shamgar again. He can walk through life as an heir of the promises of God. This is our heritage. This is what belongs to us. This is not name it and claim it. This is enjoying it and making a plan for the rest of the days that you have, because you have strength to do that. So, Father, bless these words to our heart this morning. We thank you for this body. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you, of realizing that without you we can do nothing, that we must realize that as body members and servants of God, we must stand alone, but we also realize we're never alone. We must realize that there will be days where we might be disheartened, days where we might be discouraged, but there's a smoking flax that turns into a big fire the moment I begin to embrace again the God of all grace. And so, Father, bless each and every one here today, our families. Thank you for our health, our well-being. Thank you for the mind of God. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for encouraging us and reminding us of the importance of what life is all about. Every person you come in contact with is a divine appointment, and that may be in your own living room. Every person that you think is failing, just wait on God. For we're seeing things 20, 30, 40 years later of people returning to the God of their fathers, people coming back. I'm encouraged that there is a remnant after the grace of God everywhere we go. May the Lord bless your comings and goings, and may he fill you mightily these last days of human history with a desire to see his promises realized in your life. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Amen.